Y'all can go ahead and turn to Romans 2. We're going to begin in verse 12 through 16. These are the verses. We'll be going to quite a few other verses, but those are the ones that we're going to be majoring in. Before I do begin, though, I have thought, as I've been studying through these passages that Paul here, as he writes to the church at Rome, I just wondered in my own self. I said, wonder why he just keeps on talking about Jew and Gentile, and talking to the church there at Rome about Jews and Gentiles and the differences and so forth. And I think that we have to think about these things. These Jews, for hundreds and hundreds of years, God had chosen this nation, this Jewish nation, to reveal himself to a people. He had, through the old covenant, through all the priesthood, the sacrifices, and the lamb slain, and the blood, all these pictures and types that he revealed himself to this Jewish nation. And they had Abraham, Moses, and all these other things that they could always point back to. And I always, as I was studying here and thinking about Paul continually going back to the Jew and Gentile and making all of his comments throughout Scripture, it talks about this. But Paul, he needed to show these Jews, even though they had the law of God, they had the old covenant, they had all these things that I had mentioned. And of course, the Jews thought that not only were they the national children of God, they thought that they were God's people individually. They were children of Abraham. And so, on the other hand, you had these Gentiles, which were all the other nationalities that were in the world, Greeks and so forth. And God did not give them all these things that he had given those Jews to reveal himself to. He had, but in all these things, he had revealed himself to these Gentiles. He revealed himself to every man through the light of conscience. As we're born into this world, there's as it points out in Scripture here, these Gentiles, they were a law unto themselves. They had these moral precepts. They didn't have all these other things, pictures and types and the old covenant and everything else that was given to Jews, but they had the light of nature and the light of conscience. So they were without excuse. But on the one hand, the Jews would say, well, we know we're God's people. And why in the world would God set us aside now? All these hundreds of years and all these things that we've had concerning God, we just, as far as judgment, the judgment of God, they had a problem with that, and them being as far as included with the Gentiles in that sort of way. But on the other hand, the Gentiles would say, well, we didn't have all these things. We didn't have the old covenant, all these laws and pictures and types. And so as far as the Gentiles goes, they were saying, why? Well, you need to give us some slack here, you know, as far as judgment, because we didn't have all these things. And so, but God says, no, they're without excuse too, the Gentiles, as well as the Jews who had all these things, but they didn't do all these things. Those things that were commanded of him. So I thought I'd mention that, and as we begin this lesson here, on our last study there in Romans 2, verse 11, it says, "For there is no respect of persons with God." Now, God, through the Apostle Paul, makes it clear that he is no respect of persons, whether you're a Jew or a Gentile. God will render to every man according to his deeds, not according to your nationality, where you were born, and all these other things. Now, by nature, when anyone hears the word deed, they automatically go to work salvation. It's just something inbred in us that by nature we're going to go there when we hear these sort of things, like the deeds of the flesh and things like that. Now, this is a grave error, though. What is it to do righteousness or to do well in the sight of God? It can't mean that you can become righteous by your doing. God's excluded that when he says in Romans 3:10, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." God also says in Romans 3:20, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight." Now, that seems pretty clear, that you can't be justified before God by the works that you do, by your deeds. I mean, that's what God says. Well, I'll tell you what it means to do well or to do righteousness. It is to look to Christ for all your salvation, for all your justification before God. It is to flee to Christ for that refuge from the wrath to come. Christ is the sinner's only hope of salvation. All else is condemnation. Friends, we must have a righteousness to stand before this holy God. And the only way that a sinner can obtain this right standing before God, this right standing that we all must have at judgment, is that God, out of his own sovereign will, chooses not to impute, not to charge sin to your account. David says in Psalms 32, verse 1 and 2, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth or not charge iniquity." Also in Romans 4 and verse 6, a better explanation, a more explanation to this, where Paul says, "Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man to whom God imputeth righteousness without works." Now, somebody's going to have righteousness charged to their account, and it's not going to be based on their works in any way. Therefore, we must stand without blame before God. And the only way that this can happen is that God must do it all. God, out of his own will and purpose, chooses a people out of Adam's fallen race. He gives these individuals call, God's elect, his sheep. He gives them to Christ. They're placed in his care. He obligated himself to stand in their place. He substituted himself in their place. He becomes their surety for their debt, for their sin debt. A debt that must be paid in time. And Christ obligated himself to do that. God always looked to his dear son as a surety for the debt, for the sins of God's elect. In the fullness of time, Christ came. He paid that debt in full, every jot and tittle. All the debt we owe, he paid it by his blood shed on that cross. God the Holy Spirit, in each successive generation, he comes and he quickens each one of God's elect. He brings them out of darkness and this lostness that each one of us are in. And he brings us to the light of the gospel of Christ and salvation by him alone. Before that time, we're all in darkness. You couldn't tell us different. You couldn't tell the difference between us and a non-elect. We're all in darkness by nature. And in the end, God glorifies them. and they live with him eternally. All of this is God's word. We are the recipients of God's free and sovereign grace in Christ. We're saved not by works that we've done, but by grace alone. After thinking about what I've just said, let's look at how God's judgment is always true. And just in all men, no matter who you are or where you come from, in the end, no one will be able to accuse God of being unjust in his dealings with sinful men. Now, as we begin in Romans 2, in verse 12 and 13 here, I'm going to go over the title of my message is Conscience and God's Law. 12 and 13 out of Romans 2 says, "For as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law," speaking of the Gentiles, "and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law," speaking of the Jews, "for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified." Now, those Jews, they heard God's law. They heard it plain and clear. But God says in verse 13, "Not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified." As Paul wrote in verse 11, "For there is no respect of persons with God," God is just and he's fair with everyone. And he will deal with all sin and all persons in judgment and condemnation. Is it fair for God to condemn those Gentiles for sin when they did not have the written law of Moses? Yes, because they have sinned against the light of nature. First of all, in Romans 1:19-20 said, "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. And they have also sinned against the light of conscience, the work of the law written in their hearts," which is clear in Romans 2:15, when it says, "which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another." God holds men accountable, whether you're Jew or Gentile or whatever law, for whatever law he reveals to you. Is God fair to condemn the Jews when he had given them the law of Moses and made them his nationally chosen people? The answer is yes, because it is not enough to have the law or hear the law, for it says only the doers of the law shall be justified. God's law is his perfect standard of righteousness. God only condemns by law where sin is charged. God cannot and will not condemn where there is righteousness charged. If sinners seek salvation, righteousness, holiness, and eternal life by their efforts to keep the law, they must keep it perfectly in thought, word, and deed. There was a long time there when I was in false religion, I really and was taught that you had to pretty much outwardly commit a sin. And you could, whether it be stealing or murder or adultery or whatever, it pretty much taught that. It's if you just thought it, it was really temptation. It was just Satan tempting you to do it. And that hides a multitude of sins. People, that it's y'all know, if you're truthful with yourself, we have so many thoughts that don't that are not carried to full fruition and carried out as far as all these things that we think. But God says that it's in thought too. Sin's in thought. And when you realize that, when you realize what God says concerning that, instead of hiding the multitude of sin, you really see what sin's all about. And you really see how holy God is. Now, if sinners seek salvation, righteousness and holiness, and eternal life by their effort to keep the law, must keep it perfectly, Galatians 3:10 and 12 says, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them." Also in Galatians 5:3, "For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law." As one old writer stated, "Wherever the law finds the least sin in the best of sinners, it must pronounce condemnation. Our problem is not the least of sin. Our problem is a multitude of sins. This is why we need Christ and salvation by God's grace based on Christ's righteousness alone." Turn with me, please, to Romans chapter 2, beginning at verse 19. Beginning with verse 19, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight." There it is again. "For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, and all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Verse 24, "being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past," speaking of the Old Testament saints, "through the forbearance of God." Also in Galatians 3, beginning in verse 13, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." The only reason any of us will not be judged by the law and perish in our sins is because Christ has been judged and condemned unto death in our place. Here in verse 14 of Romans 2, it says, "For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves. Even though the Gentiles did not have the written law of Moses, they prove they were not without law altogether. The Gentile nations had rules and they had laws of society that govern their people. They do by nature, as the scripture says, instinctively, the things contained in the law," speaking of that moral law. "Not the entire detailed code of law given to Israel through Moses, but the moral precepts that govern all men by nature. This shows they are a law unto themselves. How can this be explained?" Well, the next verse tells us in verse 15, "which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their conscience the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. I don't know. I really wasn't raised up in a real religious environment. My mom and daddy didn't ever go to church or anything. But I still, as I was coming up as a young boy and everything, there's just something there that when you do something wrong, there's something there to tell you you done something you shouldn't have done. I remember I've done some things when I was a little boy, and I have that on my conscience until I could get it straight with ever who I did it against. I had to go and tell them I lost your knife, or I not done this or that or the other, little things. But yet and still, that's something written in our conscience that we have by nature that shows us right from wrong. The conscience is a person's natural awareness of conforming to God's law or departing from it. It is his natural sense of right and wrong, resulting either in a sense of approval or condemnation. This is why naturally, in their thoughts, as it says up there, concerning matters between each other, men will accuse of wrongdoing or excuse from wrongdoing. We must note that even the conscience of natural fallen man is also sinful and in darkness. But God has given every man even enough light of his law and the conscience by which to hold all accountable and all without excuse. Here in verse 16 of Romans 2, it says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. Paul does not say that those who have never heard the gospel would be judged by the gospel. He is simply proving that the perfection of obedience to the law exhibited in the life of Jesus Christ is the ultimate standard of judgment. Christ was perfect. He was perfectly subjected to the will of his Father in every area of life, and his obedience unto death is the righteousness God's law demands and requires. This perfection, this perfect conformity to God's law in the obedience of Christ is revealed in God's gospel, in Paul's gospel. There are two ways in which all men are held accountable before God. They are held accountable to keep the law of God that's revealed to them. And if they fail, they are held accountable to cast themselves upon the mercy of God. Men by nature will try to keep the law, but will not admit their just deserts for failing to keep the law. Man by nature, in unbelief and self-righteousness, will always try to lower the standard of law or elevate himself as righteous by his own standard. In Luke 18, verse 9, and he spake this parable to certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and they despise others. Paul proves here that the Christ of the gospel will be the judge of the quick and of the dead, and all will be judged by Christ as he is represented, as he is presented in the gospel, the only righteous one to stand before God. The standard of all judgment is Christ in Acts 17:31, because he hath appointed the day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance to all men that he hath raised him from the dead. That's the standard. That's the standard. This proves that the only way we as sinners can stand before God and be declared righteous in his sight is to be in Christ, washed in his blood and clothed in his righteousness. We need a substitute. We need for someone to come and stand between us and God, someone that's able to represent us to God, and Christ is the only one. He's worked out a righteousness wherein God is well pleased. He's well pleased with Christ, and he's well pleased with those that are in Christ, his sheep, his elect. Our best deeds and efforts to keep the law will not save us, or it won't make us righteous either. And we have to have a righteousness to stand before this holy God. In Romans 3:19-20, now we know that whatsoever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Once again, we read the same thing, that you cannot be justified before God by what you do, the keeping of the law and your deeds in any way. Our only hope of salvation is God's free and sovereign mercy and grace in Christ. And I pray this morning that that those that hear this message, especially for those that might hear it out on sermon audio or our website, will know that God will justify a people, but you have to have a righteousness. You have to have a righteousness, and the only righteousness that will meet the requirements of God's holy law and justice is the one that his dear Son, Jesus Christ, worked out. That righteousness he imputes to all those that the Father chose and that give him in that everlasting covenant of grace. He will bring them home eventually, one day when he glorifies each and every one of them. I pray that God would use this message to save sinners. Thank you.